Sunday, June 9th, 1912, was much like any other day in Villisca. The Moores finished their chores early that morning and went to church. They spent the rest of the day relaxing and visiting with friends. At 7:30, the family visited Villisca's First Presbyterian Church for a special Children's Day presentation. When it ended at 9:30, they walked home, accompanied by two of Catherine Moore's friends, Lena and Ina Stillinger. The girls had gotten permission to spend the night with the Moores. Normally, they would have walked the short distance to their grandmother's house and spent the night there before returning to their parents' farm. This night was different. The city streets had gone dark that night. Villisca had electric streetlights, but a dispute with the power company over the cost of electricity wound up shutting them off earlier that day. The family arrived home at 10 o'clock. Most likely, the children visited for a while, but not for too long. Chores started early on the Moore farm. Usually they were up before 5 o'clock. The children fed the chickens and made sure the cows and horses had feed before they set off for school. Their neighbor, Mary Peckham, started her day at 5 o'clock, the same as she had for the last 10 years. Before making breakfast, she was out in the yard letting the chickens out and making sure they had food. Today, something was different, but Mary couldn't put her finger on it. She came out an hour later and noted an odd stillness about the Moore house. All the windows were dark, and the curtains were drawn. The children still hadn't come out to do their chores. Mary walked over to the house. She tried to open the door, but couldn't. It was locked. That was unusual. No one in Villisca locked their doors. There was no need. Mary pounded on the door, but got no answer. She walked out to the barn and let the chickens out and fed them. That quieted the squawking birds. Mary walked back home and called Ross Moore, Joe's brother, to see if he knew what was going on. Ross was as in the dark as Mary. He left his workplace at the drugstore and walked over to Joe's place. Mary met him on the porch, and they entered the house. Mary waited in the doorway while Ross checked things out. He didn't get far before he noticed something terribly wrong. When he peeked in the downstairs bedroom, Ross felt a sinking feeling in his stomach.
"I am afraid there is something wrong here," said Ross. "There is blood everywhere."
He walked outside and sat on the steps. Mary ran back to her house and called City Marshal Hank Horton on the telephone. Hank Horton walked through the dark house alone, striking a match in each room to light his way. He quickly determined that he was not up to the challenge. Hank went back to his office and called Orrin Jackson, the Montgomery County Sheriff. It was a 16-mile drive from his house, but Jackson said he would be right over. In the meantime, he suggested Hank should call Thomas O'Leary from the Kirk Detective Agency to conduct the investigation. When Doctors J. Clark Cooper and F.S. Williams arrived, Marshal Horton took them through the house to investigate further. They discovered 8 dead bodies. Each of the victims' heads was beaten to a bloody pulp. The murder weapon? A bloody axe was found leaning against a wall in the downstairs bedroom where the 2 Stillinger girls were discovered. What caught everyone's attention was how dark the house was. All the curtains were closed. 2 lamps were lit with the wicks turned down, so they emitted just a faint glow, and the chimneys had been removed from both. The chimney from the lamp in Joe and Sarah's room was found concealed under their bed. All the mirrors were covered, as if the killer was afraid of seeing his bloody reflection. In the kitchen, investigators found a bucket of bloody water, supposedly used by the murderer to clean himself up. And next to it, a plate of food, uneaten. Perhaps butchering 8 people puts a damper on your appetite?